We all live in accordance with something. And I'm going to speak to you in this discourse directly. It is not personal what I'm about to say, but it does explain many things about our life and what has happened to us and what we have allowed to happen to us in this lifetime. And the mature person understands this. If you do understand this, if you can understand what I'm about to share with you, you're going to find great insight. What is goodness? What is good? What is this supreme good that Lhasa talks about? Lhasa says, if your actions are in accord with the great way, you will be of the way. Nurture the way in yourself, and virtue will follow. What does he mean, nurture the way? And what is this virtue that will happen? What is goodness, supreme goodness? There is the goodness that humanity can do, and it's very limited. Typically, it has to do with self-preservation and nothing more. Saving maybe a person from the wildly guiles of sickness and poverty and hatred. But here's the issue, and this is something we all have to face. In donning this human body, there are literally countless lifetimes that are contained within the body. Things done that we did in previous experiences. These things have to do with what we think of as morals. But what is really about is separating ourselves from love. The supreme good is to enter into love. It is to let go of everything and come into the place where love can have its presence, its existence in us. We don't have that. Jesus said to his disciples, "There is none good but God." And please understand, in those days, the word God had to do with a very personal ideal. But in our crazy way, in our psychology, which is terribly convoluted by past life experiences and the kind of person we have become, we miss the understanding that actually it's about love. Everything is about love. The supreme good is love. There is none good but love. But even when I say that, all you can think of is emotionality and what that is all about. We don't live in accord with anything other than one thing: trying to survive, and we will do anything within our means to do so. This means even cheating, lying, even stealing. This is our evil. And we are cunning about it. This cunningness makes us believe that we are doing the right thing by being, well, evil. And what is evil? It is when I move away from the goodness, the supreme goodness of my being, and start to live for the sake of the human body and its impulses. Here I have lost my spirit, here I have lost my soul, and here all I can think about is my own self-preservation. I know many, many people who are like this, You can't even trust their word. They will give you the word and say they will do this and that and then betray. This is human nature. But let's go back to this idea of the supreme good. What is good? Good is like water, Lhotse says. Good is a goodness. Goodness is the first place a person can go to sacrifice their evil. Now, I use the word evil because to me, that's what it's all about. I deal with people at a level that many of you cannot understand. But basically, this self-preservation that we have within us can cause a person to do many, many things that cause karma. And no matter how a person works in the world, no matter how much wealth they gain, no matter how much notoriety they have to deal with this karma. We miss. To make restitution for our life is the supreme goodness. And once you and I are in that accord, then everything we do, everything we touch, becomes magnificent. Now listen to me. You may be struggling with your life, whether you have great wealth or great poverty. You may be struggling with your life. It is your living that is defining your life. Now, there are some people who have the karma to learn through wealth. They learn how to be wealthy. Others use that wealth in a way which is very ugly, and they continue their karmic journey. These people die the way their parents lived, which is the worst thing that we can do. But it is the simple thing that we choose to do. Wherever you are in your life, now listen to me. You may not like it. You may believe that you should have had better. But you are right where you and I need to be. And wanting more than what our karma is there to teach us, to show us, to reveal to us, is futile. No matter what. I have to deal with my own evil just like you, like Jesus did when he began his work. He was tempted by, quote-unquote, the devil to do three ugly things, to misuse his powers. But he didn't do it. This was his karma. This is human nature. This is our past lives coming to bear their presence. And you have to understand, you must be patient. You must be kind. You must be merciful. The supreme good in any of us is to have the mercy to see exactly what's going on in our life. And instead of wishing for more and wanting better, we live in an acceptance of how we have lived within ourselves, how we still do live within ourselves, and we are not seeking more or better. We are open. We are learning. We're becoming aware. The most important thing is to become aware. Aware of what? That's what you must find out in this lifetime. Why are the things that happen to you and me the only things that can happen to us? And while it may appear to be that You have everything you want and you're comfortable. You know that's going to end with death. And you have to ask yourself, how did I get this? Why am I still not awakened? Why is goodness not of much interest to me? I find people dole out goodness very haphazardly. They don't see the opportunity for goodness in every given situation they do. The person who is locked into their evil is one who measures out their good in teaspoons compared to what they have. They don't get it, and they're not willing to go any further than that, ever. They hide their wealth, their goodness that they could do for humankind. Like a cheat, hiding his cards. But eventually, it all catches up with us. So the best way to live one's life is to accept where they're at. And where they're at is what is going on within, not in the world, but where you're at within yourself. If you sit with yourself, and you feel the presence of this life and how big it is. If you understand it is not personal, that our psychology is against us, moving against us constantly, telling us what logically and theoretically is right and wrong, good and bad, and what we deserve and what we don't deserve. Most people do not want to shed their evil for their goodness. They just don't want to do it. They don't trust it. They don't believe in it. I have so many friends and attendees who do this constantly. They don't want to do the goodness. And what is that goodness, the supreme goodness, again? It is the presence of love. To do and live in the presence of such a wealth of love that we would be willing to give it all away for the sake of one moment of becoming realized. One moment. I always love this story. I used to tell it to the congregation when I was teaching formally. Two men prayed and went their separate ways. One gathered wealth and power, and people said he was famous, but there was no peace in him. The other saw the hearts of men glowing as lamps, even in the darkness of their own secret fears. And he too had found richness and power, and his wealth, his power, was love. The power of this love was a light that grew very clear and bright and gave him courage to be at peace in this world. Both men, one day, stood before the golden door which all men must pass through to the greater beyond. The angel in the soul of each asked, "And what do you bring with you? What have you to give? What have you brought?" Well, the one that was famous recounted all of his exploits. Why, there was no end to the people he knew, the places he had been, the things he had done, and the things that he had accumulated, both physical and mental. But the angel answered, shaking its head, "These things are not acceptable. These things you did for yourself. I see no love in them." And the famous one sank outside the golden door and wept. You see, for the first time, he saw the whole futility of his life efforts. It was almost like a dream that had passed, and his hands are now empty. If we are too full of things, if our hands are too full of things and they are not empty, we can't move forward into love. Anyway, it's all dream stuff. The angel said, that is what you are carrying, dream stuff. Your hands are truly empty, but you were busy trying to fill them, make them appear to be real and manifest. You are afraid of emptiness. And so the famous man agreed, and he sank outside the golden door and wept. He had been too busy to be kind, too occupied with himself to love, too engaged to gain notoriety and wealth, to be concerned about the things that were essential. Goodness. The angel in the soul of the other man asked, and what do you bring with you? What have you to give? This man answered by saying, no one knows my name. They called me the wanderer, the dreamer, the fool. I only have this little light in my heart, and that which I have tried to share with the souls of humankind. The angel was deeply moved. Oh, blessed one, you have the greatest gift of all. It is love. Always and always, there is enough to spare. Please enter. Then said the wanderer, but first, let me give the extra measure of my heart to this man, that we may both walk through the door. The angel fell silent. A moment of a great light shone around them as a radiant mantle enveloping both of them. And the door opened, the golden door opened, and they walked through it together. This is the goodness, the supreme goodness. To have mercy and compassion. Not sympathy, but mercy and compassion. This is not something that can be taught. This is something that is realized, but only through the heart. It is not realized through the mind. The mind is not meant to think. It is meant to observe. And when you and I choose to observe, we are using the mind correctly. So when I say to you, let love live you, instead of having your theories and your psychology that is mentally ill in the first place, instead of trying to understand everything from your thoughts, drop them. Sit quietly every day in silence, wanting nothing with all of your heart, with all of your soul. Want nothing. Be nothing. Don't live to be a someone or a something. Give up your ideal of yourself, your identity, whatever it is that you believe about yourself. Give it up. Find the gap, the pause, the space between your thoughts, because it is there in this element of life that we find the true meaning of our living, of who we are. You are no one, living for no thing, only that which brings love.
let's meditate together
on being no one.